98% pure potato. 98% pure potato. Hello and welcome to 98% Pure Potato and the latest podcast. Now, John Griffiths speaking here, by the way. Last week I talked about the higher powers, and I might have gone a little bit too fast, because what I want to talk about this week is, I suppose, the stage before that, which is what I've described as the left brain, right brain thing. Because it seems to me that this is absolutely fundamental to a quality that planners have to have. You may be kind of caught somewhere between the two, but if you haven't got both, it's really not going to work for you to do the job. One of the things we cover in the book is this kind of typology, which very strongly suggested that somehow that the J. Walsh Thompson planners were more analytical, and that somehow the BNP planners, the other agency where account planning started, were much more intuitive, and in particular because of the amount of qualitative research which they did themselves, that they're kind of right brain. This turned out to be absolutely nonsense. It turned out that the Boas-Massimi planners were just as rigorous. In fact, it was a requirement that you couldn't get a job as a planner at BNP unless you had Maths A level. And it's one of the better stories in the book that Paul Felwick, who was one of the most distinguished planners, not only being chair of the IPA Effectiveness several times, but also having been the head of department, he came in as an account handler, and when it didn't go very well, switched across into planning, and that's how he got in without having a Maths A level. And you'd think that if what they were doing was so rigorous and analytical, that he would have been at a disadvantage. But as he put it, I had a kind of brute numeracy, and that allowed me to manage. Well, it must have allowed him to manage, because, as I said, you don't end up chairing the IPA Effectiveness judging panel unless you're pretty numerate. So it should be clear, therefore, that brute numeracy, as he puts it, is an important part of the job, the ability to deal with numbers, to deal with precision, to understand progressions of numbers and what those mean. But the danger with simply being able to do that is that you can't make the creative leaps. So I wanted to give an example, which was how I first discovered account planning. I was doing an internship at TVWA, and the planner who was on Evian got me to look at some Evian store data. His name was Andy Dobson, and he asked me to sit down and talk with him and to tell him what it meant. So I told him what was going on in Evian store sales, and then he said, "So what do we do about it?" And at that moment, my mind went utterly blank, and I suppose in that moment you either think not knowing is awful or not knowing is wonderful. And my discovery was not knowing was absolutely exciting. But the reason why I mentioned that is that when you do the analysis, as both the planners from J. Walsh Thompson and Boas-Massimi-Pollitt were doing, they did all the market analysis, they did all the numbers don't give you the answer. The numbers give you the basis from which the answer comes, but you're going to have to use creativity. And that's why the other side, from the left brain analytic side, is what you do with that reality and how you shape it into something different and something new. And what I would say about this right brain side, or this creative side, is it's not simply a question of being able to work with creative people and therefore being in some way simpatico. The creativity directly comes from needing to do the job of strategy, to find out what to do with the situation you're in. I always felt that planning was in some ways a more challenging job than the creatives, and here's why. If the idea is turned down or it doesn't work out for any reason, you scrub it and you start again. But if you're dealing with a dominant competitor, if you haven't got enough money in the budget, that reality you have to deal with. You can't pretend that it's not there. You have to deal with that. And that's really where the analytical side is, to say, well, where exactly am I? But the other side is to say, well, given that reality that I can't do anything about, what do I then do to change that reality? And this is where strategy comes into its own. I think it's as well to say that the whole point about strategy is that, I mean, my favorite definition of it is it's sacrifice. I say that because for you to change a situation when you've got often very limited remit in terms of what you can do means that you can't do everything. Therefore, you have to decide what is the most important thing that you can do and to focus on doing that. That is what a strategy is. A strategy is sacrifice. It's choosing all the things that you're not going to do the one thing that you are able to do. And the reason why you have to focus on that one thing is because you haven't got the resources, the time, the people often, to do everything. Therefore, it's just the one thing that you focus on. Now, what that is not always obvious. And the most successful planners have sometimes pulled all sorts of rabbits out of hats where they did the most unexpected thing. And as I've already said, this doesn't come as a sort of logical conclusion from the data. It's a creative leap that you make moving forward. And to make it successful, you've got to decide the one thing that you do and to execute it fantastically well. I think as you get more experience as a planner, you become more resourceful. In other words, when you're faced with that situation, I still feel that each time you start off not knowing, but then relatively quickly, the more experienced you are, you can apply various ways. Is it like this? Have I done this before in the same market or in a similar market? Or can I transfer the learnings from a completely different market? But I think what's quite different from what I think the management consultancies do is that we don't simply have a set way of doing things, a set group of charts, which we use over and over again, changing the brand names. And I think that happens far too often in management consultancy world. But what we're having to do is to devise a strategy, to do the sacrificing, to choose the one thing that we do in a way which is appropriate to this particular situation. And it takes time to get it right. So just making a creative leap. I hate it when people say, well, our motto is getting it right first time. How can you? There has to be a process of iteration. There has to be a process where you feel your way forward. And that means you have to test. You have to see where you're going, not simply to evaluate the final result, but you have to test your way as you develop the idea. Maybe once you put it into the market, which is what we can do with digital, you can do A/B splits, you can do optimization. But the process of development is progressive and it's tentative and it's never absolutely certain. And that, I think, keeps the job interesting however long you've been doing it. So that's just to summarise. I've been trying to explain about this left brain, right brain, this analytic side and the creative leap side, which seem to me to be absolutely central to what a planner does, even if an aspect of the job is the ability to get on with creatives. And it was interesting for David Cowan to admit that he wished that he'd done more to support creatives and to be more creative with them. But what I'm describing is the creativity, which is about taking the existing situation and devising a strategy, a creative leap, which takes you somewhere new. So thanks for listening.